The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kay Murray here in the studio with Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol, and the countdown continues to the Champions League final. Liverpool coming into it as favourites ahead of Real Madrid, and it looks as though they've actually been handed an extra boost heading into it. Here's what Jurgen Klopp had to say about the fitness of Thiago on Wednesday's press conference, and asked whether he'd be involved. He said, "There's a good chance. It's surprisingly good. After the game on Sunday, I was not really positive about it, but we got news that night already that it doesn't look that bad, and from there we went. Now we'll see. I can imagine everybody thinks now, 3 days before a game, cannot train, but we just have to be sure we do the right stuff in the right moment, and that's what we try." So, big boost, and the numbers show it. They've won 84% of their games that Thiago starts, compared to 68% when he doesn't. For more on this situation, let's send it out now to Paris with Alexis Nunes and the crew.
Thanks so much, Kay. And much like you said that Thiago makes Liverpool better, these two guys make me better. I'm back with Robbo, but look, we have Sir Frank Leboeuf joining us. I'm saying Sir because you've got that little red thing on your jacket and it means something, right?
Yes, I'm a Knight of the Republic. Thank you for Mr. Chirac. But yes, I would be English, you would have to call me Sir. But the only Sir is Stuart Ian Robson.
Yeah.
S-I-R.
Literally Stuart's initials. But the truth is, we're here, Frank. We're finally in your country. Champions League week. The city seems like it's buzzing. Is it buzzing more than usual for the football?
It is. And welcome to my country. And it's true that when you have the chance for a beautiful event like the Champions League final is, everybody is looking forward to receiving the world of medias and also to be watching that fantastic game. And we're all looking forward for that. And we're very much happy.
We are massively excited for this one. And I think Liverpool fans in the last 24 hours, as you alluded to, Kate, are much more excited because there is some news after Jurgen Klopp's press conference that Thiago Alcantara could possibly be fit enough to play in this final, guys. And if he is not even 100% fit, but at least a little bit fit, surely he has to start.
If he's not fully fit, he doesn't start. It's as simple as that. You can't be a player.
But he's that X Factor player for them, isn't he?
But he won't be the X Factor if he can't run, or he can't get around the pitch, or he can't manipulate the ball and get away from people. You have to be not maybe 100% fit, but at least 90% fit. And I got from the comments that Jurgen Klopp made, he might play some part in the game. That's what he said. He didn't say he was going to start. He said he might play some part in the game.
The problem with that is that the coach is going to ask Thiago, "How do you feel?"
Yeah.
And he's going to lie because he wants to play. He wants to play, and everybody will do the same. I will do the same, and Stuart as well. So the truth of that will not know. We won't know. We will know while he will be playing, and when he's going to play, we're going to see if he's 100% or not, because a player like that, you see immediately if he is a factor, is the X factor or not.
Because we've seen it before. Diego Costa playing for Atletico Madrid against Real Madrid. Everyone, is he going to be fit? Is he not going to be fit? He comes off after 10 minutes. Harry Kane for Spurs against Liverpool couldn't run, and so it was a waste of time playing him up front. He can't do that with Thiago if he's not fully fit.
How important, though, overall, has he been for Liverpool? Has he made them even better probably than they were before?
Yes, because he's now the passer of the ball in midfield. They had a lot of energy in midfield. When Wijnaldum was playing, he wasn't a great passer of the ball, but he was a player that got into the box. Henderson's obviously high work rate. Keita's got high work rate. But Thiago's the player that can manipulate the ball, he can switch the play, he can play clever little balls around the corner. So he does add that little bit extra for Liverpool, I would say.
He's a fantastic player. He makes a difference. You know,
the most important player now in recent times, at least in the last couple of months?
I don't like to go in those individual, you know, compliments in a way that it's a teamwork. But he makes something special. But don't forget Fabinho.
Yeah.
Fabinho, he works for, in fact, Trent Alexander-Arnold. You know, when he goes a little bit too forward, or even Robertson. That's the guy that I love the most. But when you watch Thiago Alcantara, you love football.
Yes.
He brings something special.
He does bring something special indeed. So does a certain Diaz, who has been brilliant. But we're going to get to talking about the Colombian in just a bit. Before that, though, Frank, since you're now just joining us, yesterday we spoke about all of the narratives. Gab Marcotti was here. He told us about all of the themes, the storylines going into this match. You know, whether it's a perfect chance for Mo Salah and Liverpool to get revenge on Real Madrid, whether Real Madrid just want to put out a massive performance to kind of cushion the heartbreak that they are undoubtedly going through after Kylian Mbappe pledged his future to PSG. But as the players, you as the players, we're talking about what's going on the pitch. How much of this do they take onto the pitch?
You know what? I think it's a media story. So we try to bring it up, you know, to make sure that the fight was going to be exciting. It is going to be exciting. But football is full of details that you have to resolve. And Mo Salah won the Champions League 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So he forgot about the fact that he got a problem with his arm and he got injured and he didn't win the Champions League in Real Madrid. They played against Real Madrid last season.
Yeah.
You know,
but he said it. He says that they have a score to settle.
It's again, like Ancelotti answered, you know, like in Paris when Real Madrid lost against Liverpool, they could say it's a revenge as well. I think it's just stories to create something special. But on the field, I think everything's going to be forgotten. Everybody's going to be spot on what they have to do and what to achieve. And you don't need a bigger motivation than the motivation that you have playing a Champions League final. Come on, you know. And the talk of the coaches are very simple, very easy before, because all those players, they play. And even if they won before Champions League games and Champions League finals, like Real Madrid did and Liverpool did, they play the game of their life because it's the present time.
Two of the best clubs definitely in the world, especially this year. They surely don't need any more narratives going into this.
No, I mean, Real Madrid at the beginning of the season, they were thought to be sort of maybe second, third best in La Liga.
Yeah.
Atletico Madrid were favourites. Everyone said they were going to win the title again. But you have to give credit to Ancelotti. He came in and he started off in the first couple of games with the likes of Bale and Hazard playing up front. It didn't work. And then he changed it and he got the right formation, he got the right tactics, and they've just stuck with that. The only time he changed the tactics was when Benzema couldn't play and they played against Barcelona and lost 4-0. So he'll just stick to the same tactics in this game, I would imagine.
And then just speaking about Real Madrid, as you pointed out there earlier on in the season, I remember halfway through the season in December before the Madrid derby, we got to speak to Toni Kroos. I spoke to Toni Kroos and he actually said that he's a bit surprised that they were that far ahead in La Liga at the time, because he said, honestly, I don't think we've been playing our best at all, maybe even half our best, but some way, somehow, we keep getting through. Does that give Madrid kind of the edge in going this one, or can you see how Liverpool can overwhelm them? Because the truth is, Madrid has struggled a lot this season, even though it doesn't show with how they've won La Liga.
Chelsea, not this season, but the last season, showed how to play against Real Madrid when they outpowered them, they outran them, they found spaces in behind Real Madrid's midfield. And I thought in most of the Champions League games against PSG, against Man City, that would happen again.
Yep.
But they've somehow found a way of keeping in the game and then winning it. I think Liverpool, if they are, and we talk about Fabinho and Thiago being fully fit and they play at a high tempo and they keep sticking the ball in behind Real Madrid, in my view, they're still the better team of the two.
And I mean, I've sat, of course, beside the likes of Pablo Zabaleta and Luis Garcia a lot of times in La Liga, watching Real Madrid at the Santiago Bernabeu. They go a goal behind, everyone starts to panic. I go, oh no, this could be a juicy one. And they look at me and they say, I've seen this script before. This is something that Real thrive on. But you look at that match with PSG, it was two legs. You look at the match with Chelsea, that was also two legs. Frank, this is only one match. There's no two legs. There's very little room for error. So are they running the risk of Liverpool wearing them down?
Of course, because I think, and Toni Kroos confirmed what I think, and Madrid fans really think that I hate Real Madrid.
But you told us you do.
You can say he's still angry that they knocked Chelsea out.
To get the contrary of what you're saying, in one game they did the job at Stamford Bridge, and they played fantastically against Chelsea the first leg. Well, I guess Chelsea was really horrendous that night, but sincerely, I think they have the spirit to do whatever it takes, even for one game. And Liverpool players, they know that. Even if they lead 1-0 or 2-0, they know that at a certain point, because of the faith they have, the Real Madrid players, they might come back. So you have to respect them for that, because they don't do it randomly once.
Yeah.
But they did three times. And in a way that everybody, and even the players, Real Madrid players, believe that it could go that far. It's fantastic what they showed. And it's part of the game. The psychological aspect of the game is the most important thing. Mm. And you play your final. You don't play well in a final.
Yeah.
You win it or you lose it. And everybody will remember that you won it or you lost it. Mm. That's what they do. And I think they won it 13 times. Even if Liverpool won it 6 times, I think they are...
They know how to win
this. They know how to win it.
They know how to win this. And Robert, we talk about the mentality of Real Madrid, especially in this competition. But on the pitch and tactically speaking, if we are to find any vulnerabilities in this Liverpool team, it's hard to. But there's a lot that's being made about pressing so high with such a high line. Is that something you think, or is that the number one thing that Real Madrid and Ancelotti going to try and exploit?
Liverpool do play a high line. And sometimes they get it wrong. I see Van Dijk, who's a, you know, talked about as a world-class player. He makes the wrong decisions at times. You know, just stands there when people run beyond him, and he gets away with it on certain occasions. If I don't think Benzema is the player that's going to run in behind. Benzema is going to be the player that's coming short, and then it's going to be Vinicius Junior who's going to make the diagonal runs from outside to in. Depending on who's playing on the right-hand side, if it was Rodrigo, he could do exactly the same. But I think it's going to be Valverde. So Vinicius Junior could be the threat to break the offside line, not Benzema. But that is a problem. The other problem is, of course, they have a right back who's a great footballer but doesn't want to defend. Doesn't even have a defensive thought in his head at times.
Yep. And I mean, that's Frank, you weren't here yesterday, but we were talking, we were asking Robert probably some of the matchups that he can't wait to see. One of those was Vinny Jr. and probably Trent Alexander-Arnold. What about you? What do you think?
Might be the key of the game.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Ancelotti is going to use that. As Robert said, you know, Benzema is going to come short, and Vinicius and maybe, I think, Rodrigo is going to come behind the defence and the central defence. It's up to either Roberto for Rodrigo or Alexander-Arnold for Vinicius to cover.
Yeah.
But Trent Alexander-Arnold doesn't like to do that. He doesn't like to look behind him, and that's going to be the case, and that's going to be the key, sorry. And it's up to, I think, the central defenders to cover him and to anticipate that. Otherwise, they're going to have big troubles.
And speaking of Liverpool defenders as well, Frank, this is your forte. There's a certain man there called Karim Benzema. Mm-hmm. If you're going in and you have to mark him, how do you stop him? Because this is a man with experience, and he's clearly having the best season of his life. How do you stop someone like this?
You know, that question has been asked to me in 98 about Ronaldo. And I say, well, you know, let's pray that it works, you know. And it did work. And sometimes I think you can have a good day, and you have to make sure that you give a big pressure on him. The talent is there. And you know that at some point you will need your friends to help you out. Because you one, against a player like that, you're going to suffer. He's going to have the ball, and at one point he's going to take you on. So you have to respect that, you have to accept that, and you have to make sure that your friend's going to be there covering you. But you have to be very close to him. You have to give him a big pressure. You have to scare him in a good way.
The only problem is
put his beard a little bit.
I was going to say, how do you scare someone like Karim Benzema?
The only problem with Benzema is he's difficult to pick up because he doesn't stay as a centre forward.
Sure.
He comes short, he'll go into midfield. So the players that have got to be alert are the holding midfield player for Liverpool, whether it's Fabinho, as you talked about. He's got to make sure, because what he does, he sets up the play and he almost jogs into the box. So when the cutback comes, he's free and he scores. And that's what Benzema's done all season.
Michel Platini talks sometimes about the fact that a striker has to know how to play a 9.5, he said. So a little bit, you know, in between the lines, between the midfielders and the central defence. And that's where the threat is. It's where you don't know where to stand, and it's where you leave the spaces, and it's where you create problems for your own team.
And then, speaking of Benzema, of course, being probably Real Madrid's biggest threat to Liverpool's defence. Now, switching it around, Liverpool's front three, that's something that we have definitely enjoyed. If you throw in a certain Luis Diaz there, who has been so impressive, Robbo, just talk to me again about the X factor that he brings, and how do Real Madrid deal with this?
Well, he's quick. But he's quick with the ball as well. You know,
he
can run off the ball, but he's also quick with the ball. And he's probably the best of the three at running with the ball. Mane makes runs in behind. Salah makes runs in behind. But in terms of dribbling skills, at pace, Diaz has been the best player this season for them, doing that sort of thing. You've got to show him inside. you know, at times, so the next midfield player can come out and deal with it. You've got to make him go into avenues. You've got to make it difficult for him and stop him getting the ball and getting turned. That's the key to stopping Luis Diaz.
All this sounds, though, easier said than done, Frank. How do you deal with someone like him? Because he's an absolute joy to watch.
Well, again, it's somebody that the only choice that you have is maybe to anticipate and get the ball before he gets it. Mm. That's maybe the only chance that you have. But he knows how to ask for the ball, you know, short and go behind you. And because he's fast, you're going to, you know, step back, you know, as anticipation. Then he's going to get the ball short. Then he's going to face you. And the guy is skinny, but he's strong. No, no, really.
He's full of energy.
Yeah.
He does not stop. I want to know what he has for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Probably arepas.
Yeah, we have to check that out. But again, we talk about talents.
Yeah.
And you have to accept the fact that you won't win every battle. But if you win the war, that's fine.
I remember just watching him in the FA Cup final and somebody had tweeted, it's like Luis Diaz has four lungs because this kid just does not stop running. With that said then, I think every day now we're just going to ask you guys for predictions because as the news keeps coming out, we'll see if any predictions change. Frank, let's start with you.
Well, I have to go to Liverpool. As Sir said, if they played fully fit with Fabinho and Thiago Alcantara, I see a 3-1 for Liverpool.
Oh, we don't even need extra time or pens.
I'm going to go with a very similar score. I'm going to go 2-1 to Liverpool, and I think for exactly the same reason we talked about. They've got more pace in the side. I think they press the ball. They might catch Real Madrid out by catching them on the ball high up the field. I think they've got players that can run in behind Real Madrid. Alaba might not be fully fit, so there's another player that could be not a liability, but could be exposed. Liverpool 2-1.
Liverpool. Both of them are going for
what
Liverpool, indeed. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not revealing my prediction.
She said Manchester United to win.
I couldn't even pick Manchester United to win a match these days, much less the Champions League final. Oh, we miss those glory days. But anyways, you know we love to get creative when it comes to predictions for the Champions League final. And we had a fun day today, a nice little feature that you guys should look out for. It's coming up tomorrow without giving anything away, guys.
No, I won't.
How
no.
We picked the winner. How was it today? It was quite fun. We made some croissants.
That's the
first
time.
Did I say it right?
No, but I love the cliche that American people do about the French people. You know, even my producer say, can you come with your beret, you know?
Oh.
And I say, well, you know, I don't have a beret. But it was a very nice experience because I didn't know how to do pain au chocolat or croissant. And now I know. I'm going to bake some croissant.
All I would say, Alexis, you and I were listening to what the woman was telling us.
Yes.
Somebody wasn't listening. He was off doing other things. You know,
Frank decided to attention. Just... The fact that he has French blood, he says, I don't need to listen to instructions.
No, of course not.
I'm just going to make
know.
It.
That's French people. We all know about everything.
Well, as I said, Kay, you can definitely see these guys in some aprons, myself included, but mainly it was about them. And you can see who ended up winning that battle of the croissants and pain au chocolat. It's coming up on ESPN FC tomorrow. In the meantime, it's back to you, Kay.
Absolutely, can't wait to see that. I wonder if they could have saved any for us.
No.
Are they going to bring them back? Yeah, I bet not. Let's now welcome into the show, shall we, Don Hutchison and Ian Dark as well. Let's continue that conversation about Thiago. I actually want to start with you, Stevie. Are you tempted to not start him?
No, I think the fact that he has a hamstring problem, you have to start him. Now, I think Klopp and Liverpool are lucky. You can make 5 subs. Mm. You know, but my only worry for Liverpool is Van Dijk, Fabinho, and Alcantara. That is the only problem I have in going into this game.
The only one, all three.
It's the only one together. Hamstrings. But they can still start the three of them and be able to make 3 changes.
Can they play the way they play best if these guys aren't fully fit?
No, absolutely not. You know, the one that could get away with it would be Van Dijk. Now, he's saying that he just needed a rest and it wasn't his hamstring, blah, blah. But clearly, he wasn't comfortable in that area. But he's the only one, in my opinion, who maybe, if not 100% fit, can still be as effective. Because he plays with his brains. Every now and again, he has to change gear, put the turbo on to cover. But other than that, he's playing with his mouth. He's playing with his positional play. So it's not as much of a physical problem for Van Dijk. So he's the least of my worries. But the other two, I think, is a problem. If the two of them are fully fit, then there's no question. Liverpool, for me, are big favourites. And as I said, you have to start them. If you think they can play any time, you have to start them. Because what you can't do is bring them on, and then they go after 5-10 minutes.
You agree, Don?
I think Fabinho's the key. I think if Van Dijk was missing, I think Konate's in good form and Matip. Yes, you want Van Dijk fit, but Thiago brings something different. You've seen the assist he got against Wolves over there, where he's got imagination. And it's not like, you know, I've been on fitness tests. I'm sure the guys have done fitness tests before. It's not like Jurgen Klopp's going to wake up the day of the Champions League final and go, do I toss a coin on Thiago or Fabinho or Van Dijk or Mo Salah? He's going to put them through their paces probably tomorrow, day after. He's going to make them train. He's going to make them do fitness tests. I've been involved in fitness tests on the day of a game. I failed them and I've got through them. And that's the acid test, really. When you go through a really rigorous session, you know as a player you can get through or you can't, and that'll be a good indication who's fit, who's not.
What do you think about it, Xhaka?
I'm in agreement. If those players, if the players in question are 90% fit, if you can get 75 or 80 minutes out of them, you play them. They may break down, that's a gamble you take, but unless it is painfully obvious that it's hampering their movement, the pace at which they can run. You're not quite sure that you can even get 45 minutes. You know you can get 75 or 80 minutes. I think you take that chance and you make the substitutions as needed, even if it is late on in the 75th or 80th minute, because you can change the game then. You don't want to have to bring them on and be chasing the game. And then all of a sudden you're left with a problem. Having brought them on, all of a sudden they aren't fully up to speed.
Let's talk about the game itself then. Ian, you've covered so many games. How exciting is it to have these two teams in the Champions League final again?
Yeah, very exciting. And of course, Liverpool have a bit of a score to settle with Real Madrid from the 2018 final, particularly Mo Salah. It's good that he's fit again. The news that he's staying, a big boost to the Liverpool camp ahead of the game. And I think Liverpool too are... The fact that they lost the Premier League title in a photo finish last Sunday, I think that will give them a bit of an edge as well. So I do think they're the better team. But as you guys have been saying, Real Madrid just keep finding a way, don't they? And after a while, you start to say, well, is that a fluke or is this part of the DNA? Are they a better team than we all think? One thing that worries me particularly for Liverpool is this. Occasionally, the two fullbacks are flying so high that there's room in behind them. Now, can they do that against Vinicius on that left-hand side? Can Trent Alexander-Arnold push as far forward as he normally does? Because they could get taken to the cleaners if they get that wrong. So it's a fascinating game. It could be a brilliant game. I think it's a 50-50 final. I really do.
Are you worried about that, Stevie? Vinicius Junior?
Well, if he's continuously getting on the ball and running at Trent Alexander, then that would be a problem. But as Robbo was saying earlier on, Liverpool deny you the ball. Liverpool squeeze you high up. And so if they're doing that well and they're on their game, then Vinicius ain't going to see the ball. So that negates the problem that you would have with Trent Alexander-Arnold.
All right. We just heard Mo Salah's name mentioned. And I know on yesterday's show, we touched on this, him talking and dismissing rumours about his future. He did say that he'll be sticking at Liverpool for sure next season. Just going back to you, Stevie, is that a distraction for the team, talking about Mo Salah's future again ahead of a final like this?
No, I don't think so. And I love his answer. He's basically shut everybody up. That's perfect. You've still got a couple of days before the game. There's no question, nobody... And the playing staff or the coaching staff are going to be thinking about Mo Salah's contract. No way. Primarily because of the answer he gave. I'm going to be here next year. And so, you know what? Squashed.
No worries or concerns for you in that aspect, Don?
No, I think Stevie's right. I think the answer that he gave when he said, I'm not selfish. The Champions League is the most important thing. I'm going to be at Liverpool next season. That basically shut everyone down in the room. There was no questions then to... sort of follow up with Mo Salah because he'd answered it. So he said he's staying. I'm pretty confident that Liverpool will find a way of getting a new contract to Mo Salah, but the timing's just not right at the moment. They'll probably talk again in the summer.
Just going back to what Ian was talking about as well, there is that revenge factor. And I know Mohamed Salah said himself as well that will be there. Obviously, Sergio Ramos isn't there this time around. How much will this play a part in Liverpool wanting to... They're obviously going to want to win this anyway, but does it play a part? Yeah,
absolutely. Every single little positive thing you can put on top of the cake to make it taste better, then you do it. And this is just another incentive for Liverpool. They've got a thousand incentives as it is, but if you want to stick another one on, it's only good. It's only positive. And right now, seemingly, including the injuries, it's all positive.
Is that something Jurgen Klopp can use to get his squad even more fired up, Shaka?
Absolutely. I don't think Jurgen Klopp needs to use it at all, in all honesty. The players feel it. The players were out on the pitch against Real Madrid a few years ago. They saw what happened, how it happened, and the ramifications of it. And players carry that. You don't normally need extra motivation for a Champions League final. But that head-to-head battle and the way things played out, and it felt unfair to Liverpool, certainly at the time, I think players carry that grudge and want to put that right. So as much as you're thinking about winning Champions League every single year that you play in, as much as you get to the Champions League this time around, you cannot help but think about the injustice in your eyes of 4 years ago.
Well, you heard from our guys in Paris that they've got Liverpool winning this one. The odds makers have Liverpool as the favourites as well, as we told you at the top of the show. Let's get a few predictions off you guys. Ian, what do you think is going to happen in this game?
2-2 draw, extra time and penalties.
And who wins the penalty shootout?
I'm going to go Liverpool.
All right. Don?
I'm going Liverpool to win it 2-1 in 90 minutes.
Shaka?
I'm going Liverpool to win it 2-1 in 120 minutes.
Oh, everybody for Liverpool. We're not going to go to Stevie today because Stevie's on tomorrow's show, so you'll have to join us then to find out what his prediction is. Make sure you are with us as we continue our build-up to the Champions League final. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Now, Ian Dark caused a bit of a stir on yesterday's show. Now, he wasn't even on the show, might I add, but he put together his worst Premier League 11 of the season. And Craig and Dan questioned a couple of the decisions, namely Kepa as the goalkeeper and N'Golo Kanté being in there. Ian, you are here tonight. We're going to give you the chance to defend your decisions.
Well, they've stuck this label on it. I mean, I was asked to write this column, the best 11 and a worst 11 of the season. But it wasn't really a worst 11. It was most disappointing 11. But, hey, look, that's the shorthand they've put on it. And we all work in the media. And it's all a bit of fun and a debate. Yeah, of course, I wouldn't expect everybody to agree with those selections. You could have picked probably half the Norwich and half the Watford teams, and maybe a couple of Burnley players as well from the relegated teams. The way I kind of approached that was the level of expectation surrounding some of those players in that team. They're obviously good players. They've proved it. But for various reasons, in Conte's case, it was a series of injuries. They were not able to deliver what most people expected. So hence that lineup. But I'm standing by to get a fusillade of...
Who wants to go first? Go on, Stevie.
I absolutely have a lot of sympathy with Ian, because one of my pet hates when we do the show is when we're asked to do the worst 11 or the worst of this and the worst of that. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. And so I 100% agree with Ian that it should be the most disappointing.
Right.
However, saying that, I think he's a little harsh on Kepa, because there's no way Kepa was going to be getting a game. Every other one, Ian, I 100% agree with you. I don't agree on the Kepa one, though, because he was never going to put the gloves on.
Ian, why is Kepa in there?
TV, I was thinking through all the Premier League goalkeepers, and I couldn't really think of one who'd had an awful season. A lot of them had very good seasons. So, yeah, I mean, that is harsh because he hardly played, but there was that incident in the League Cup final when he was brought on as the so-called penalty specialist to save the penalties. He didn't save any, and then he missed his own kick, and of course it cost Chelsea and Liverpool won. But yeah, I'm accepting, look, a couple of those are on the harsh side. You will notice there are six Manchester United players there. I don't make any apologies for that. They were that bad.
What we have also noticed is your lovely headshot from the year 2000, I'm told, Ian. Looking mighty fine here. You haven't changed a bit, obviously. Don, what do you think of his worst 11?
I mean, N'Golo Kante's got to be devastated. He's hardly played. I mean, he's got to be absolutely gutted he's in there. And I can think of one goalkeeper that's been worse than Kepa, Tim Krul at Norwich. He's had an absolute shocker of a season.
Stand well, correct. Thank you.
and I understand what Ian's done there, thinking of that one. So, Don, who would you have put in?
I would have put Tim Krul in, but I'm like Stevie. I think it's horrible. I think it's harsh. I was involved many, many, many years ago, and West Ham sort of done a forum of their worst players of the season, and I was in it, and I was devastated at the end of the season. I was gutted because I'd ruptured my ACL, and they'd always hardly played, and when he come back, he never really played. He was on the bench trying to get on. So it's a horrible list. So I'm like Stevie. I feel a little bit of sympathy for Ian. I really do. But Kepa, Kante?
Let me throw
one in there for the goalkeeper. What about Bernd Leno? At least Kepa started this season as a number two. We knew he was going to be number two. Bernd Leno started as Arsenal's number one. Lost his place to an outstanding Ramsdale, admittedly. But I'm in agreement with everybody. These are difficult lists to make because if you're that bad, you should be dropped. You shouldn't be playing. So how do you then quantify who deserves to be in such a list when if you've gotten enough minutes, if you're good enough to get minutes? So it's a thankless task. I do sympathize. And just to kind of, again, just throw in an option as far as the goalkeeper goes, because I'm in agreement, Kepa, he's a number two, and you can't start picking on number twos.
I'm going to have to stick up for N'Golo Kante as well here, Ian. I'd like a deeper explanation as to why he's there. It's not his fault when he's not able to play.
Well, yeah, that's true. Injuries were a factor in that, and I may be, on consideration of everything you said, probably shouldn't be in that 11. It is unfair. I mean, he is a great player. He's a World Cup winner. He's won everything there is to win. But he only started half of Chelsea's games this season, and because of that, he never really got a proper run, and we never saw the best of him. So that was my reasoning. Even Tuchel said it the other day. It was a big reason, really, why we lost momentum, is because we weren't able to see the best of N'Golo Kante this season. So to that extent, he was disappointing. But am I to blame here? Yes, totally.
It's all
how many money the matches did Kante get when he played? I don't remember any.
What?
I don't remember any.
So what you're saying is...
Well, this is a guy who's up for the Ballon d'Or, a guy who last year got 1,000 man of the matches. Okay, he's played half a season, but I don't remember him being man of the match.
So did you expect more from him this season?
Absolutely. Which is what Ian, his list is all about.
All right.
So Ian, don't listen to them.
So it's not the worst 11 of the Premier League of last season. But Ian, it was only fair that we ask you for your best 11 from the Premier League season. Can you talk us through it?
Well, I think, you know, it kind of speaks for itself, really, there. I'll be interested to see whether the guys have got... I mean, they might question De Gea, but I thought, really, where would Manchester United have been? They wouldn't have even made the Europa League without the series of saves that he made and the goals Ronaldo scored. So, yeah, I'll just put that forward. Declan Rice, maybe you could... There's a case for Rodri. Maybe you could say Eriksen. Well, he only played half the season at Brentford, but they won 7 out of 10. They were heading towards the relegation zone when he arrived, and I think he's the story of the season, you know, given the circumstances. This is a guy who almost literally came back from the dead to play in the Premier League again and do what he did. So, for that reason, he has made my 11. But the rest of them, well... all fantastic.
Don, when you saw Ian's best 11, you started shaking your head. Why?
I did, because I got asked to pick my Premier League 11 the other day, and I've got three changes from Ian's. I've got Joel Matip instead of Rudiger. I think a very, very underrated centre-back, and he'll probably start the Champions League final, I would imagine. I had Bernardo Silva instead of Eriksen. And who was the other one I had? There was another one. Who was it? Show me the list again. I had three.
Here we go. Can you see it? I can talk you through it otherwise.
Joel Matip. Joel Matip and Bernardo Silva. Apart from that,
right.
Perfect. De Gea was the other one. That was it. Alisson.
All right, because we're going to go to Shaka in a minute, because I'd like to talk about that. But, Ian, I must say, though, there are only two Man City players in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you could argue for others like Bernardo, certainly. Certainly the two outstanding ones for me were De Bruyne and Cancelo, who's like a fullback who plays like a number 10. He can chip little passes and open up defences. So fantastic. Yeah, you could argue for more. They were the champions. And look, it's all open for debate. It's just that it's supposed to be fun and a talking. we're not here standing at the end of an archery range, arrows to hit us.
Oh, don't worry. We're happy to debate it, Ian. That's what we're here for. Xhaka, was David De Gea the best keeper last season?
No, I don't think so. I think David De Gea was outstanding, and thank goodness for Manchester United that he was. When you look at United's season and you look at the individuals, probably the only players who lived up to any margin of expectation is David De Gea and Cristiano Ronaldo. But if I'm picking the best team of the season, I think the best goalkeeper in the league over the last season has been Alisson. I think the one who's come in and exceeded expectation more than any other, again, Aaron Ramsdale at Arsenal. Ian is talking about De Gea and Manchester United's finishing position. Let's remember where Arsenal were when Ramsdale took over. We were talking about Arteta losing his job and whether Arsenal would be in a relegation dogfight. And Arsenal finished ahead of Manchester United. So in both those regards, I think there have been other goalkeepers who deserve the nod.
Well, Stevie's been backing up Ian Dark's best 11s here and worst 11s. Are you backing up the goalkeeper decision in the best?
No. Maybe there was a little clue when Alisson was given the number one goalkeeper in the world award not too long ago.
Not in Ian's list.
Maybe that was given away. The other one's Eriksen. I mean, Darky, you're a big softy.
Oh, he is.
You're a big softy.
He is.
And we shouldn't argue with that.
No, of course.
But it's wrong.
But he gave his reasons for that one, and that's totally understandable.
It is the best comeback story of the season, and best feel-good story of the season, no question. So from that regard, because I, after all, I'm a big softie as well.
as far as football's concerned...
How are you, Ian?
Okay, so Ian, they weren't as harsh as yesterday, shall we say. Anyway, you can see more content like this over on our YouTube page. If you haven't already, be sure to go over there and subscribe. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The big storyline of the week has been Kylian Mbappe choosing to stay at PSG. And it seems Paris is the place to be right now. Champions League final coming up there on Saturday. So let's head back over to the French capital for more from Alexis.
Thanks, Kay. And I had to swap out Rabo and Frank for Julien Laurens and my Catalan queen, Gemma Soler. But Jules, we're in your country, we're in your city. The city's buzzing for Champions League final, aren't they?
Yeah, welcome to Paris, all of you. It's great to have you here. I think every Champions League final should be in Paris from now on. You know, every year you can all come.
That's a good shout because stunning city, I'll give you that.
It is good.
I see why you keep coming over every weekend on the train in London and refusing to work with us. But anyways, we know that Jules has been buzzing for more than just one reason. This week, after Kylian Mbappe pledged his future to PSG. We'll get to you in a bit, Jules, about that. Gemma, how are things in Spain? How are things in Madrid? Because we know that they may have been acting like it's not this big of a heartbreak, but hasn't it been kind of embarrassing at least?
Yeah, because, you know, it's been 2 years. They knew Mbappe was coming at some point. They knew it would be hard, but they were very sure. And that's what they told their friends, their family. Everyone knew at some point he will be joining Real Madrid. And Real Madrid and their president is not someone that is used to getting no's. So they felt outraged. One week from now, they felt very disappointed. Even though in the media, they are Real Madrid players, they all gave us the same message. It doesn't matter. We're going to play the final of the Champions League. And at some point now, it is a big opportunity to come here to Paris to win yet another Champions League, 14 titles, to say, okay, we're Real Madrid. We don't even need Mbappe.
And Jules, of course, massive victory for PSG in this one, but you surely do feel the embarrassment for Real Madrid, don't you?
It's a bit of a humiliation, I think, you have to say, because they were so convinced he was coming, they were so sure. And I think they didn't really see the twist coming. Even PSG thought on the Tuesday before the announcement was Saturday that he was going to go to Real Madrid. It looks all certain. And yet for him to not change his mind, because to decide to stay in the end, I think was something completely unexpected for Florentino Perez. And like Gemma said, he's not used to those kind of answers. Usually he gets everything he needs or everything he wants. And this time he found a player and a club who didn't want to let go.
But it was absolutely necessary for PSG to hang on to Mbappe, wasn't it? If they didn't, would this project PSG just pretty much be over?
It would have been tough with Neymar out of form, with Messi at his age, which one more year left on the contract. Clearly, Mbappe was the key here. And also, politically, for the Emir of Qatar, the owner of the club, to have Mbappe playing for PSG during the World Cup in Qatar was a big thing. So they were ready. And we said that many times on the show. They were literally throwing everything at it. Do you want to be the captain? No problem. Highest paid player in the world? No problem. Do you want to take penalties? No problem. You want to take the part of the decision-making of the manager, the sporting director? No problem. But they still thought that's not going to be enough. And in the end, it was enough.
And speaking of Real Madrid, as we talk about the momentum, I suppose, getting into this final now, just the way that they overcame PSG, the way that they overcame Chelsea as well, now in another final, they know how to win a Champions League, Gems. Could this somehow have worked in their favour? Maybe be a little blessing in disguise that they go out there and play with more of a vengeance?
Yeah, I think so. The Paris effect, it certainly has. And this crazy comebacks, it gives them a lot of energy. Also, the fact that they clinched the title, La Liga title, 4 match days ago, that gives them a lot of energy. And the final match days, they were 17 points ahead, Barcelona or Sevilla. So they were kind of focusing in that, being able to focus in that comebacks. And yeah, you know, I was in the media day and they all sent a very positive, very bright message, like saying, yeah, we are Real Madrid. We won already 13 Champions League. We're going to win this one.
This is familiar territory for them, isn't it, Jules?
That's the crazy thing. They're so used to it. They, watching from afar, that media there, they look so relaxed.
Like, yeah, they did. They were.
In a way, maybe they've got nothing to lose. If they win, it's great. It's another one on the long list. If they lose, they lose. They've already won 13 anyway, or 14. So it's not, you know, 13, it's not. It's not a problem, really. It would be disappointing because you don't want to lose a final. But it's just going to be, okay, we go again next season. And they've got that incredible relationship with the Champions League or the European Cup that nobody else has in the whole of Europe.
I mean, they won the last 7 finals they played. And as Carlo Ancelotti mentioned, when he won the 10th title, they had a lot of pressure because it was a long time without winning a Champions League, so they felt more pressure. But now, I mean, these last 8 years, it's been crazy for them. Yeah. 5 titles, it's something crazy.
It is absolutely crazy for them. What's crazy as well is the money that Real Madrid will want to be spending now to cushion that heartbreak. And I love me a shopping spree, and I'm sure Florentino Perez is going to want a shopping spree as well. So the question is, who are the top targets now? Jules, what are you hearing?
So Aurélien Tchouaméni.
I'm hearing a Frenchman, exactly.
Yeah. Tchouaméni is the first one which we expect the deal to go through. There's a little issue with the taxis right now. I think who pays the extra little bit over the transfer, which should be around 80 million euros. I think this would be sorted. PSG are trying to hijack the deal.
Shock.
Again, exactly. Because Kylian Mbappé and Tchouaméni are quite close. I think PSG needs someone like him because he's young.
So what's the likelihood of them getting their way in that one?
I don't think so. I think they started too late. And Real were already too advanced. He wants to play in Madrid, in fairness. So I think this one will go through once they sort out the little details. But Tchouaméni is no Mbappé.
Yeah.
I don't think many people in Madrid will know who Tchouaméni is. No offense to him. I love him. But he's still a young, upcoming, very talented, but young player. So they will need something else there to satisfy the crowd and the fans.
James, how would they take that kind of a signing? And also, there's a certain name of Mo Salah still being linked with Real Madrid, besides, despite the comments he's recently made. But he did pretty much just say that he will see out his contract. So maybe next year could be a possibility.
It could. So the thing now is, as we mentioned, it's been two markets without a shiny signing for Real Madrid.
A Galactico signing.
This is not very common. So I think Florentino Perez would like to go to Champs-Élysées and try to find something. But there is no shiny signing that they can embrace now. So what I've been told is that, of course, they will have Rudiger, which is a good signing on the defense. They will go for Tchouaméni. Now it's the main target. But they are not gonna get crazy. They put all the eggs in the same basket, Mbappé. They decided to give up on Haaland. It was another dream. And as they thought they were having Mbappé, because apparently they have his word, they decided not to try to get Haaland. And now that's why they feel so disappointed, because there's not a signing with the new Bernabeu when it's gonna be. And they were dreaming on that Mbappé presentation there in that new Bernabeu. They cannot have that now.
So a lot of answers there needed for Real Madrid. But if you thought yesterday when I was teasing that Gab Marcotti has friends in high places, so does Jules. Jules, let's talk about your boy Neymar, because best believe, after now that we've realized that PSG is going to be Mbappe's PSG, there's still two massive names there in Messi and Neymar. We'll get to Messi in a sec. But Neymar, the rumors swirling that he could maybe go back to Spain. What are the chances of that?
Well, I don't know about who in Spain would buy him or can afford him. But certainly in Paris, they've opened the door now. He arrived in the summer 2017. It's been 5 years of ups and downs. There's ups because he took them to the Champions League final, but there was a lot of downs. He'd only play 50% of the games in five years. This is not enough. He's on a big contract. They actually gave him a new deal a year ago, which was crazy. And now they're thinking, okay, the club is taking another turn, which is more like younger players, more French players maybe. There's no room really for Neymar or for some bling superstar kind of thing. Kylian is the superstar now.
Yes.
And Messi's a little bit different. But for Neymar, if someone comes in for him, they would definitely let him go.
James, what do you think? Are there any doors open in Spain for a Neymar return? Maybe even Messi?
Yeah, I mean, if it was a club where he could go, it's Barcelona, but the financial situation makes it absolutely impossible.
Would he even fit in with what Xavi's trying to do, especially with so many young players?
Well, he's a very talented... He would be useful, and because probably Dembélé is leaving Barcelona, we still don't know, but he hasn't gave a final answer. So, I'm sure he will fit if he gets back at his best shape, but they cannot afford that. They are trying to do something different. They have a lot of work ahead of them to trying to balance the books, and it's tough work. I can't imagine that with Neymar's salary and what they would have to pay to PSG, of course.
So a lot of interesting days ahead, especially after that Kylian Mbappe signing and pledging his future to PSG. Jules is going to take us to a party to celebrate that, because we are in the city. We've got Jules and Frank K, so I'm going to throw it back to you so we can go and enjoy some of these sights. Look at the Eiffel Tower. Gosh.
Jules is a happy guy. A lot more Jules. You can check out the latest Gab and Jules podcast. There is a new episode out right now.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We go from arguably the best player in the world to undoubtedly the best power rankings in the
without
world.
Question, a little bit of explanation here, some European love, that's why Roma gets in. And then largely is about good news and teams who've come to the fore. So
no algorithm. There's actually emotion
I had to tweak the algorithm, is what I'm saying. So PSG get a big bump because of the Kylian Mbappe news. AC Milan They are in after securing Serie A title, but PSG, as I say, that was the big news for them. Bayern are back in, you know what to expect from them.
Why are you struggling for numbers? Why is Bayern in? Again, remind me.
Well, Bayern are one of the best teams in the world. I don't think that's up for debate, Steve. I'm just saying.
You clearly were. How can you have Inter ahead of Eintracht Frankfurt?
Hang on a minute. Wait a second.
Why not?
unless I'm mistaken, who won the Europa League last week?
Eintracht Frankfurt.
Right, and what did Inter do?
Well, Inter finished second in Serie A. Well, Eintracht Frankfurt in the Bundesliga.
So finishing second is more important than winning the Europa League.
They win the Europa League, but they finish seventh in their domestic league. Inter have lost one game since February.
It's a straightforward question. It's more important to be second in Serie A than it is to win the Europa League. Is that a fact? Thank you.
I know there's going to be a big argument with Don, there always is, but I just have to say, I just saw Ian Duck pull off his glasses at the end as if he meant business and was ready to go to town on the power rankings. What do you reckon, Ian?
Well, do you know what? I mean, you've already accused me of being a softie this week, and I plead guilty to that. Do you know my number one this week would be AC Milan, really? You know, it's like a revival of the glory days, isn't it? Been a long time since they were champions, so just for one week...
No, I think playing against them,
number one.
Don't take it away from Milan, after all they did, a young team.
They weren't playing against them, did
they? Against everybody in Italy, surely.
No, they just put their feet up every week. Didn't even bother.
Big cigar.
Let's decide who's Italian champions this week.
We're playing what's that team called again?
Stevie, you don't know what you're missing. Don, what do you reckon about the power rankings?
I don't even know where to start with this, Kay. I mean, Darkie's absolutely right. I mean, Milan won the title in the first time in about 10 or 11 years, wherever it is. And Stevie's saying they ain't played anyone. They've done well to get past Napoli, get past Inter, their rivals. Jack, you need to pipe down because I don't know why.
Well, how good are these teams, by the way? Can you tell me?
Frankfurt, Jack. Frankfurt win a European Cup and they're below Inter.
That was last week. The dust settled on that.
Madrid won the title about 2 months ago.
Huh?
Real Madrid,
I can't believe
catch
me before
ago.
The faint. Chaka, get me before the faint. I can't believe AC Milan beat Napoli because they were so good. They've dominated European. Oh no, sorry, none of them are.
It's just bitter because Liverpool didn't win the Premier League.
Roma
won the Europa Conference League.
Yes.
Hold on, are you telling me they beat Roma?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right, Don, you're right. AC Milan should be
in there.
Beat Roma.
Who are you going for in the Champions League final?
Liverpool.
Right, and you said PSG have had a boost because of the Mbappe news, yet still Real Madrid are top of the power rankings right now. They've just lost out on the signing of arguably the best player in the world.
Shocker.
They're not the favourites going into the Champions League. It was weeks ago they won the league.
Oh, no.
Shocker.
But they won
leave them alone.
They won the league, and they're in the Champions League final. I don't know what else they need to do. They've done what they need to do.
So, sign somebody?
Huh?
Sign somebody?
Well, they've got a lot of talent. They don't just sign somebody today, do they?
Looks like you think they're going to beat Liverpool in the final.
I did not say that. The poor rankings does not take predictions into factor the algorithm.
Oh, it's another rule of the algorithm.
The algorithm doesn't take predictions into consideration, Ms. Murray.
All right, all right. And I'll tell you what, Stevie doesn't take Mulan's achievements into consideration.
I am distancing myself from whatever that was. Whatever that was.
You're right.
Nothing to do with me.
More from this whole crazy crew.
Nothing
on Extra Time. If you'd like to stay up to date with Extra Time, you can subscribe to our YouTube page.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just a little talk about Brendan Aaronson. He's completed his £28 million move to Leeds United from Salzburg. There'll no doubt be a lot more talk about this transfer in the latest edition of Football Americas. That's coming up later today. Well, that will do it for the latest edition of ESPN FC. But Shaka, Stevie, Ian and Don have decided to stick around and answer your questions. Not really, they've got no choice on Extra Time.
I was about to say.
See you next time.
I didn't decide anything.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We've got Shaka, Stevie, Ian and Don with us today. And Shaka and I were absolutely stunned before we came to air because we heard that Stevie has actually been gaining a little bit more adventurous with the cuisine he's been trying. He actually tried garlic fried rice. Mm-hmm. We were very surprised to hear it wasn't just boiled and bland and boring.
Nice.
And he liked it.
Well done steak with a bit of cognac sauce. It was brilliant.
Yep, so maybe.
And onion rings. Onion rings got in there somewhere.
Let's be onion rings.
Gourmet onion rings.
Somehow.
Stole a few of the wee fries as well.
Did you put ketchup on them?
No. Excuse me. How dare you?
I'm with King. The garlic fried rice is like. Long Stevie showed up here, surely.
Did you took your napkin?
I only do that with ESPN. I don't want to get stuffed down my tie in the middle.
All right.
I don't do it anywhere else other than here.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
We'll let you off. We're just happy you didn't order from the kids' menu. All right.
Hey. Cost a lot, right?
Did you know which knife and fork to use?
Honestly, that. Well, actually, I nearly stabbed myself because the knife was still in the thing and I went like, oh.
I hope you didn't swear at the table.
Absolutely not.
This is a very fine establishment. All right, Stevie. Luis Diaz seems to be the one attacker at Liverpool that can change the feel of a game from the bench. So, should Liverpool start the original front three and then bring on Diaz?
Well, and as much as I agree he can change the game from the bench, he can change the game from the first minute as well. So, no, you start him.
So bring him on. So bring him on in the first minute.
Quick substitution. Change the game.
You start.
Oh, the way this guy's playing, you start him.
Would you start him, Ian?
Definitely. Yeah, I think he's been absolutely phenomenal from the moment he arrived. It looked like he'd been at Liverpool for about 3 years when he played about two games for them. He's electric. He can run with the ball. He scares defenders. He can shoot. He gets goals. I think he's going to be a real world star, you know, like maybe top 5-10 in the world.
Shaka, who's a better goalkeeper, Alisson or Thibaut Courtois?
Oh, goodness me, that's a good question. Ooh.
Did you take that one?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
I would suggest there is one thing that separates them.
What's that?
One place for Liverpool.
No, I don't know what you. Courtois not bad with his feet, if that's what you're suggesting.
What would you say about Alisson? You wouldn't say his feet are not bad. You say his feet are brilliant. You just said Courtois' feet are not bad. Separation time.
In terms of being brilliant with the feet, I don't think he looked much further than Edison in terms of brilliance with the ball at the feet.
We're talking about Edison. We're talking about Alisson.
Yeah, no, but you're, no, but you said Alisson was brilliant with his feet. And I'm saying he's good, but I'm not going to go brilliant.
But that's what separates the two of them.
But are they the right keepers for their clubs?
Absolutely the right keepers for the clubs. Absolutely.
So Alisson wouldn't be a good goalie for Real Madrid?
Courtois would be a good goalkeeper for Liverpool as
I
well.
I never said he wouldn't.
So what are you asking me? I'm ever since you ate garlic fried rice, you've changed. That garlic fried rice has changed you, Stephen.
Hello?
I'm
I can't believe you're talking, taking so long over.
Yeah, no, I'm leaning Alisson, but it is far closer than some people may think.
All right, Don, who are you going for of these two keepers?
I think Stevie won the argument and he had Shaq right on the back foot there. Shaq was starting to have a little sweat on there when Stevie said Real Madrid could play Alisson. I am not sure Courtois would be as good as Alisson at Liverpool, so I think Stevie's won it.
What?
Unlucky Shaq.
I don't even know how to answer that. I really don't.
Are you backtracking?
On what?
Completely bamboozled.
Because I really don't know what I'm answering here. Listen, I think both goalkeepers are the perfect place. They suit.
But you still Courtois, said they'd be great at the other club.
Courtois suits Real Madrid. Alisson suits Liverpool.
But then you said
Courtois would be just as good for Liverpool as Alisson would be for Real Madrid. There really isn't an awful lot between them.
So how are they a perfect fit? How many teams can you be a perfect fit for?
Let me repeat what I said. Let me repeat what I said. Both goalkeepers are the perfect club for themselves. I think Courtois for Liverpool would be just as good as Alisson would be for Real Madrid. I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know.
You don't get what you're saying wrong.
What am I saying wrong?
You've just said that both of these guys are perfect fits for the clubs they play for.
Correct.
So why would Alisson not be a perfect fit for Real Madrid as well as Liverpool?
Well, we're talking hypotheticals here. Why would Courtois not be a perfect fit for Liverpool as well?
Well, you're the one that said they were perfect fits for the team right now.
Because we know definitively, because they're playing with their clubs. And then all of a sudden, you have to think about how Courtois would fit into a team that plays with the high pressure that Liverpool would. How would Alisson fit in with Real Madrid with their low pressure? Okay. And
hang on.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
Ian's going to get the deciding vote.
Okay, just one quick point.
All right.
I'm just saying that the assumption that one gets after the statement like they're both in the perfect place in the perfect club, the assumption one gets is that they wouldn't be elsewhere.
Hang on a minute. Why is he referring to himself as one now?
Well,
shouts into your garlic fried rice.
First of all, when you talk about the assumption one gets, the rule of thumb is with a reasonable one. I'm not sure.
What would one think about this, Ian Dark?
What?
I don't know. Ask a simple question, eh?
Brilliant.
I think whoever said that question, rapidly losing the will to live.
as am I.
do you know what? I mean, Shaq is the goalkeeper here, isn't he? So, do you know, this season, I think Courtois probably edges everybody.
All right, that was the deciding factor. That was it. So Courtois, sorry, Stevie. All right, next question. Last time Stevie was in Spain when we played versus Spurs in the final. Why is he not in Paris this time around?
I'd like to know the answer to that as well.
Especially now with your new culinary exploration.
I wish I could answer that for you, but I don't know. I don't know is the answer.
I don't think Paris is ready for Stevie.
Is that when you were rowing the boat? Is that?
Yes.
In Madrid.
That's why.
I had a little bit of an advantage that day.
Stewie finished second in the boat race, and
there is a reason why Stewie finished second, by the way. Yeah, and there's nothing to do with Stewie.
You should have finished second.
So, many people didn't watch the show back then. Stevie and Dan were in a boat together. Stewart and Gab were in a boat together, and they had a race in Retiro in the park in Madrid to see who would win, and these guys won the race.
Let's just say the back of Robbo's boat was that going under. That.
Right. Should Klopp really be Premier League manager of the season, Don?
See, I think not. I think not. I think the manager of the season, in my opinion, is Eddie Howe. Because Newcastle had no wins when Eddie Howe took over. He's took 45 points from 49. He's done what no manager's ever done before when you're sitting on no wins when you take over in and around Christmas time, and got Newcastle close to 10th. I think it's an incredible achievement. Having said that, if Jurgen Klopp gets the treble, then it's Jurgen Klopp.
All right. Well, Ian, I'm coming to you with
Premier League manager.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
I'm feeling very arrogant. Right.
I'm with you.
If you had the garlic fried rice.
Feeling very arrogant.
If you win the FA Cup, you'll get Premier League manager of the season. That don't make much sense to me at all.
Shaq is right. And we're done. Yeah. I would have. As great as Klopp is, I would have had him third behind Eddie and Pep.
But is he at the perfect fit at Liverpool Football Club?
I think both Pep and
but could he,
are the
could he win
fit
a title with could he win a title with Manchester City?
Okay. Oh, Ian, this is for you. United completed the treble on this day in 1999. What are your memories of it? Did any of you think United would come back and win it within the 90 minutes and in the manner that they did?
No, I mean, I just think some things are written in the stars, and I think it definitely was for Manchester United that year because, frankly, they were awful in that Champions League final against Bayern Munich, who scored one and should have scored at least two or three more in the game. And then, you know, what happened with Solskjaer and Sheringham and, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson said it right. I'm not going to repeat that because he used an expletive. But, you know, football is fantastic. It's fantastic what can happen. And it happened for United that year. All the stars were aligned, as they have not been aligned, of course, for that club this season.
It is football's one of where were you when moments that everybody knows where they were. Where were you, Don?
Good question, so I can't remember. I can remember watching it thinking they've been battered. I think Karsten Janka played up front for Bayern and he was incredible. I think Karsten Janka played. They hit the crossbar about two or three times. Schmeichel was pulling off saves like you wouldn't believe. Honestly, they got absolutely torn to shreds. And then somehow two goals in the last couple of minutes was incredible. When you see that second goal for Man U again, have a look when you see it again at the Bayern players just on the floor, distraught because they just couldn't believe what had gone on in the last couple of minutes of that game. It was astonishing.
Sorry, Ian, go on.
Beating the turf in frustration. One of those like Champions League images, that one.
Yeah. So Don doesn't know where he was, but he remembers every minute of the game, the shots, everything.
I was in Trinidad and Tobago in my mother's house. And of course, Dwight played in that final. So when they won, the entire country erupted.
Ah, that's really nice. Yeah,
it's good.
So everybody was behind United that day in Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stevie.
What?
Obviously, you were loving this one.
I was rooting. I'd be buying scarf on, me buying I'd be shorts, me boots out of the lot.
All right, Shaka, did you ever get any gifts from fans when you were a player? What were the best and what were some weird ones?
I have no idea. I don't think I've ever got
any gifts
from fans.
Yeah. No.
No.
Stevie?
I got a jumper. We used to go to Norway all the time. In the 80s.
You get a jumper. And
yeah, somebody made me a jumper.
They made it?
Yeah, came to the hotel. Said, here you go, made it.
Here's a jumper for you.
Blah, blah, blah. Love watching you guys play. And
that wouldn't concern you.
This is a...
No, not at all.
But what was the jumper like? What was the sweater like?
It was white with a pattern on it. It was something to do with the way that Norwegians make it. And she made it for me.
Just you? Nobody else on the team?
Just you?
I am thoroughly confused by
it. You still have it?
No.
Oh.
Oh, man.
No.
Well, I hope she's not watching, because she's going to be very offended by that.
Well, why do you assume it was a she? I don't remember him saying it was a she. I just remember him saying somebody made him a jumper.
We're talking 35 years ago.
He just said somebody made him a jumper.
He slipped up because he said she.
You sure?
I'm sure.
All right.
Don, did you ever get any gifts?
I did. I got one of them what Stevie got because I was on the pre-season trips. But the weirdest one I got, which was really, really nice, is a lady or a girl at West Ham knitted me a jumper. Amazing. Amazing.
Well, what type of jumper was it?
Say again?
What type of jumper was it? Like a West Ham jumper?
Yeah, like a Clarendon blue knitted jumper with like buttons down the middle. It was like quite cool. It was nice.
I thought you said you were the only one who got one of them jumpers.
Oh, what?
No.
And you said, and you said the lady knitted it as well. You said they made it.
Oh, exactly.
So how come Don's got a store-bought one?
He's got a what?
Store-bought?
How come he's got one? He's got a store-bought jumper.
What's
Don's?
No,
he said he got one in Norway as well.
He did. He said he got one in Norway before the West Ham one.
It was like a tradition,
Don't spoil Stevie's.
Aye.
All this time, Stevie thought somebody knitted him a jumper special.
Did you get one as well? I think we all got them, didn't we?
All these years. Stevie's been telling people, oh, they love me in Norway, you know. They knit jumpers just for me in Norway, you know.
I'll need to get in touch with my fan club.
All right, last question. Ian, Robbo told us a story on yesterday's show. Why would you ask for a banana gelato if the waitress gave you 20 flavour options and banana wasn't one of them? Also for the panel, what's the strangest thing you've eaten on your travels and how was it? So Ian, would you be the type where if you were given 20 flavours of ice cream, you'd just choose banana that wasn't on that 20 strong list?
I wouldn't go for banana, but I've got a big passion for coconut. So I'm really disappointed. I haven't got coconut gelato. So yeah, I probably would. I'd probably hold out for the coconut.
All right, so.
That's a bit cool, actually, coconut gelato.
Coconut gelato, not a bad one, right?
That's nice.
Stevie, what's your favorite flavor ice cream?
Vanilla.
There's a shock.
What a surprise.
Damn. Damn me.
All right.
Ah, jeez.
Let's go around then. Shaka, what's the strangest thing you've eaten on your travels and how was it?
I've eaten frog's legs.
How was it?
Well, it's good for goalies, isn't it? Helps
it. It was all right.
What did it taste? What did it taste like?
Tastes like chicken.
Tastes like chicken.
I've had turtle. Turtle is a delicacy in Cayman Islands.
Why you run so slow?
What else have I had? That's all I could think of. Off the top of my head.
This question for Stevie.
I run slow but jump high. So between the turtle and the frog's legs, I run slow but jump really high.
What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten? You can't say garlic fried rice.
Grilled chicken.
Seasoned
chicken. Yeah.
Put salt on it.
Yeah. Steak that wasn't well done.
Followed it up with some vanilla ice cream.
Ellen and I went to the old, it was Yugoslavia still back then. So that was like 82.
Right.
So we were both like 19. I'd hardly been out of tune all my life, as had Ellen. So we go on honeymoon to Yugoslavia and we get to this place and we go out the first night, we get the menu and I go, well, I think, so I'm going to keep it simple, I'm going to have steak. So I ordered steak tartare. So they came to the table, right? So they bring all this thing, and I'm like, what are they doing? And I was like, oh, what's going on here? And so they started mixing it.
Did you ask for it to be well done?
Honestly. I want a steak tartare. They came, they started mixing it all, doing this. I'm sitting there, and I'm going, are they going to bring something to cook it? Or are they going to bring... No, they didn't need anyone like that and dumped it on the plate. I was like, oh, lovely, thanks very much. Wait, right? So I was like, what am I going to do? Because I'm not eating that. So we got most of it. And where we were sat, there was a wall behind us. So I was doing that, cutting bits off, putting it over the wall. And I only got a bag out and got like a wee napkin. And we put half it in the napkin because we didn't want to get him back with nothing eating on it.
All these stray dogs following you back to the hotel. A bunch of stray dogs kept following me around. Kept following
me around. A bunch of stray dogs with the most educated palate. Don, quickly, have you ever eaten anything? What's the strangest thing you've eaten on your travels?
I can't. I'm a bit Stevie when it comes to food, but I can't do things like snails and frog legs.
Ooh.
Can't. I just can't do it. Steak and chips.
Aye.
Steak and chips, but not steak tartare.
Yeah, cook steak.
Anyway, thanks so much for your tweets today. That's all we've got time for on the latest edition of Extra Time. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow and we'll do it all over again.